everyone. Loose Cannons here, coming at you with another podcast. We've got a special guest today, Ilya.
Hi.
Say hello.
Hey, Ilya. Everyone. Happy New Year.
Yeah, we're recording this right after New Year. And then, of course, your regular people, Ruben, Patrick, and Basil, are all here.
Yeah,
we're
going
to be discussing...
Still here.
2012's Battleship, directed by Peter Berg of Friday Night Lights fame. I believe he also invented iceberg lettuce. I think that's where it comes from.
I was going to say he had a brother named Ice.
A failed rapper, Ice-T and Ice Cube, with a big Isis and iceberg. He never made it.
Berg actually means mountain in German, right?
I did not know that.
So that's actually kind of badass.
None of us speak German except for you, Ilya.
I know, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for all your obscure German needs.
He's bringing the international flavor.
Exactly.
Okay, so does anyone want to, you know, say what they felt about it? Everyone want to go around and say, liked it, didn't like it, loved it, hated it?
I started off hating it, and as it went on, I warmed to it more and more, and I thought it had a good ending, so I was like, well, it got much better. I don't know how I feel about it overall at the moment, because I just watched it last night, but...
Maybe we can clear it up for you, Patrick.
it was very strange. It was probably the most a movie has improved my opinion of it in a good long while, like, just going through the runtime. I'm kind of curious what the rest of you thought of it.
I thought it was so dumb. Like, so dumb all the time. Just so much dumbness.
Is dumbness bad? Dumbness is bad, right?
Well, I don't know. I think towards the beginning, I actually liked it because I thought that it was pretty aware of its dumbness, like how long and weird the burrito stealing scene is. Like, it just goes on forever for like no reason.
Yeah, I hated that scene actually. I was like, oh my god, what is happening?
But when I watched that scene, I was like, okay, Peter Berg knows exactly what kind of movie this is. This is going to be like pretty fun and dumb. But then there's so many like weird, like super, like trying to be heartfelt moments that didn't ring true at all to me, that it really, I was like, maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he just like, maybe he has no idea what he's doing making this movie. So,
I mean, I think Lone Survivor looks extremely sincere based on the trailer.
Yeah. Is that his new one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I sort of like a mix between what you guys just said. I kind of, like, going in, I think I got exactly sort of what I was expecting to get. but there were, like, instances where I was just really impressed with how they managed to just somehow, like, I don't know, like, the scene where they integrate the title or board game into the movie was sort of amazing in just how they just, like, I can imagine those dudes sitting in a room just thinking about how we're gonna get this damn board game into this movie. And after like hours and hours of thinking about it and just intense thought, they just managed to somehow squeeze it in there, and I was really impressed with that. Like, I was sort of like, woo, when I saw it. I really liked it.
They were like, wait a minute.
There are also some
title
really,
buoys.
Nice.
I've got it. Title buoys.
There's some nice gratuitous shots, you know, board game style, like really high up, bird's eye view shots of the ships in the water, where they were like clearly were supposed to look like board game pieces.
I kept wondering. I was like, this movie does a lot of like, it did a lot of shots toward the beginning where it would be like really close on people, and then it would zoom out really far, and it would be like way up over them. And I was like, "What the hell was that shot? Like, why was that necessary?" And then I was like,
"It's a board game shot."
I was like, "Oh right, it's a board game movie." Because that's a genre that has taken over the world.
Apparently, people really didn't like this movie. It was a big bomb in the box office, and I guess I don't really understand, because to me, it actually, I don't have that much to say about it, because it seems like every other action movie that I've seen of the last 10 years.
Basil, I think
it seems like people just hated it because it was based on the board game Battleship.
Yeah, I don't
know. They were like, this is too far for even us. we'll watch a My Little Pony or a Transformers movie, but a Battleship movie?
It's too crass. But Basil, I think I had the opposite reaction to you. Like, I started out hating it and thinking it was so dumb. And by the end of it, I was like, okay, Peter Berg, like, knows this is dumb, and he's just, like, playing on the dumbness. And I was like, okay, he's kind of, like, sincere in how dumb he's making this. Because he's just like, all right, by the end, we're going to have old-timers, and there's going to be an old battleship. And, you know, the guy with, like, prosthetic legs is going to fight an alien, and...
And win.
Shit's gonna be crazy. It's just like, it just kept doing things like that, where it was just like these leaps in logic. It was like, there's no way that he should be able to win that fight, but he's going to, because, you know, that's the kind of movie this is. And I was just
until he's gonna be saved by the guy who, like, the nerdy guy who runs out of nowhere with that box in his hand and just beats the alien to death, right? Like, out of somehow developing this all this power and just out of, I don't know, courage and strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they outrun the battleship shell that comes in and just destroys everything in the end.
For a little bit, I thought the movie was gonna be like a weird environmental parable. I was like, oh, they're destroying roads and other things that use gasoline. Maybe they're here to save us and we're just too dumb to realize it.
Well, at first I thought, like, when the destroyers are shooting at the little, like, you know, frog ships or whatever they are, like, it seemed like they would only attack if the destroyers would shoot at them first. So I was thinking, like, maybe it's like a, oh man, we provoked them thing or something, like, but no, it was like their whole plan was to invade Earth from the get-go. They were just like...
Yeah, there was like a thing with when it showed their visors and they were like scanning stuff for like figuring out what was in front of them. And it would like, sometimes they would scan a human eye and then they would like not attack. And I thought that was going to be, like, explained better why that was happening. Yeah. But it just wasn't. Really was.
Yeah, I thought about that as well. Really, like, that was just... I think, like, there was really no room in the movie Battleship for some weird, like, moral quandary of whether or not these invader aliens are somehow also good. You know? Like, it's just... I think that would have blown, like, just out of proportion, like, just the scale at which the movie was supposed to be made. So they just introduced that and then just realized, oh, wait, we're doing Battleship. Why are we asking these questions?
They're like, no. The aliens have no conscience.
No. Let's forget about it.
Let's just forget that ever happened. It's like they brought that in so that they could use it to protect some characters. Like the little kid on the baseball field doesn't get run over by the wheel of destruction, whatever the fuck those things are. But then they were like, oh, let's just stop using that for a little while.
I think it's strange that so many people made fun of Transformers before it came out, like his designs for the Transformers and stuff, and yet now all, like, machine things look like Transformers in movies. Everyone's like, we hate that. And Hollywood's like, we don't care.
Well, yeah.
Giving it to you.
It's when Transformers made all that money. They were like, all right, everything can look like that. It makes money. People apparently don't have as big a problem with it as we thought.
But I actually thought... Sorry.
One thing that I did...
Go ahead.
That's good. Okay, one thing that I did like about the movie was that I think that that little line about like Art of War, like the little Art of War part of the movie, did kind of call out these action movies' typical racism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like, I'm not Chinese. That book's Chinese.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I really liked him. I liked that character, Nagata. The Japanese captain. I thought it was really nice that they like kept him in there, because I expected all the Japanese characters to get killed off really quickly. I was like, oh, they're gonna blow up all the Japanese ships as like a, you know, a testament to the power of the aliens or something like that. But then like the Japanese captain is like a main character throughout the movie, and he's like, you know, they're like bonding, they're like best bros. I was like, oh, that's nice. I'm glad that they kept him in there.
Yeah, that was kind of like a reverse sort of like Pearl Harbor. Like they were trying to, because like they made like a reference to Pearl Harbor in the movie. Like just
They talk about Pearl Harbor because I think that's the, you know, the port that they're all coming.
So
from,
I think like that whole relationship was kind of like a way to just sort of like, oh yeah, let's kind of remember Pearl Harbor the movie. Let's do the opposite of that in terms of like. Us and the Japanese,
because
that was that sure was weird when we did that. So but what I love Nagata for, actually, what he was part of my favorite scene where he sort of, you know, remember when he bicycle kicks Taylor Kitsch in the face, you know, during the soccer game, and then Taylor Kitsch is like, I can still totally shoot this penalty, there's no problem. Like, I just, like, he just got bicycle kicked to the face, and like his blood is coming out of his face, like out of everywhere, and then he just still wants to do this penalty, and the movie's like, yeah, Taylor Kitsch, learn your lesson. Do not attempt this after being kicked in the face, you know? You stubborn person, you know? And it's, and so I just love, like, that was the level at which we were, like, oh, look out, here's like, a character lesson coming up, you know? And I was sort of anticipating that the movie would continue in that sort of fashion.
I felt like this movie took a really long time to get going, though. I feel like that first sequence, I was watching it and I was like, all right, well, they're out there on the little raft and they're going to go see what's up. And then it was like, you know, it felt like forever that they were out there, like, just like looking around at the stuff, like, what is all this crap? And then they were like, oh, we're going to shoot at it with a gun. And then they were like, oh, what's it doing? Like, what are these little things that it's shooting? And then there was like this whole like first volley that didn't hit anything. They were just like shooting down with the little phalanx or whatever the hell that thing is on the front of the destroyers. And I was like, what exactly? It also felt like it took the little frog ships like a million years to actually like position themselves to shoot. Like they would like open up, and then another part would open up, and then like their face would change shape, and then another little part would open up, and I was like, are they ready to go yet, or what are they doing? some of the scenes felt awkwardly long like that. It was just like, this is too much. Just like show one or two shots of them, like, you know, getting ready, and then go. You don't have to like specifically show like, okay, this part of them is opening up and this part of them is opening up. It was also that way with the scene where the alien is in the engine room, and I think he's trying to like scan the engine or something like that. I wasn't clear exactly what he was doing, whether he was trying to destroy the engine or like scan it.
He was looking at whether or not it was dangerous, right? It was a threat or something.
Yeah, but then he was like holding his hand over it, and he was doing a little bar where it was like,
yeah.
I don't know if he was charging something or if he was like scanning the engine to see what it, I couldn't figure out what he was supposed to be doing. And that scene felt like it took forever. I was like, oh my god, just kill him already. But they go through this whole thing where they're like, I'm gonna punch him, I'm gonna shoot him, no, he can't be hurt by any of our bullets, we're gonna have to lure him all the way out of the ship onto the deck in front of one of the guns, and then we're gonna blow him up. And I was like, okay, it was kind of satisfying when you blew him up, but it took too long to get there.
The Matrix dodged this moment.
Yeah.
All action movies have to have a Matrix moment, and now they have to have a Transformers moment, I guess, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say the Transformers moment was definitely... And it was definitely, like, it was one of those gratuitous moments where I was like, okay, guys, too much. Where the little wheels of destruction just go on a rampage throughout Hawaii, and they're just, like, running through the arches that are holding up the freeway, and cars are just falling down and killing people. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's not necessary. I got it. You know, when something crashed into Hong Kong, I was like...
I laughed at that joke, too, that the wreckage missed the Buddha.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting that they showed that scene, though, that they kind of lingered on it the way that they did. It wasn't just like a, you know, an Armageddon when Hong Kong gets destroyed. They show like one scene of it getting destroyed, and then they're like, Hong Kong got destroyed. Like, they don't reference it any other time in the movie. It's just like, oh, Hong Kong got destroyed. That was just there so you could see some shit blowing up. It was just like, no, they kind of lingered on it, and they were like, oh, Hong Kong, like, you know, was the site of the... It was like they were like giving that normal, like, kind of ground zero feel that other movies usually reserve for, like, New York or Los Angeles in these types of movies. For another, they were given, like, more of an international feel. It was like, oh, the whole world's involved in this. So that was something that I thought the movie did well, was it was trying not to be as American-centric as most of these movies usually try and be.
Yeah. I think what another thing that was kind of sort of maybe missed out on with that, with all those, with the scenes where like the aliens scan something and it's either red or green, so it's either a threat or isn't. I thought like you could have like maybe extracted some more out of that, because every time they did that, it was just kind of a cool way, because it really cut through all like the macho whatever, like posturing of all the sailors or whoever was in front of their face, right? So it kind of reminded me of like when in Predator, when at the end Arnold Schwarzenegger is getting pummeled by the Predator, and they like keep cutting to this like to this view from the Predator's eyes, and you see like Arnold just completely like all red and just like screaming through this distorted sort of thing. It's like, I think that was like the most vulnerable I've ever seen a dude like Schwarzenegger be, and I thought that was kind of like a neat sort of trick to just like make these like puffed up sort of Navy heroes suddenly seem sort of, you know, helpless and kind of vulnerable and more human because of that. And I think like there was like attempts to do that in certain cases, maybe, where you sort of started feeling for the people who were right in front of the alien, right? Because they're like, you didn't know what was going to happen, and they might get killed, might not get killed, and suddenly it was like, ooh, and there was tension, and then they just sort of forgot about all that, and you know, got to the board game itself, which I really want to talk about that scene though. I thought it was really, really cool. Like, I really enjoyed that. When I was watching the movie while my girlfriend was asleep, and I just tense. I really had to hold, like, get it, keep it together so as to not wake her up, because I was like, oh my god, like actual battleship. It's kind of awesome. And and just the way that like the Nagata like explains, like, we've been doing this to you Americans forever, you know, like, it was so funny. I know, it was really, really funny.
One thing that I liked about that scene, and in general, I guess, is that there wasn't sort of like one big solution that like figured everything out. It was kind of like at the sort of a third of the way through the movie when that, I don't know, the guy who was like steering the ship like figured out that they had like lizard eyes and that it was harder for them to see in sunlight. You're like, oh, okay, this is the thing that destroys all of the aliens. But it was just one of like many, like they had to come up with like different solutions over the course of the film. You know, normally, like, the Independence Day model, it's like they come up with one thing and then that's it. You know?
Yeah. We've got to give them a virus.
We came up with the one thing. But, like, they actually had to come up with, like, multiple different things, you know, to win. So that was helpful, you know, for two different battles. And then, like, the, you know, Taylor Kitsch's character, like, realized that their guns couldn't turn, you know, like, as quickly as the ship. And so, like, he did that sort of dropping anchor, spinning around or whatever to take out that one ship.
Yeah, he broadsides the one, which I thought was good. That's good strategy. Cross the T. That's how you're supposed to do it with battleships.
So, they, you know, I like that they had to come up with multiple solutions, you know. Normally that's not the case in these types of movies.
Yeah. And I also liked that Taylor Kitsch's sort of, like, epiphany moment where he's like, all right, I know how we can beat this thing, is, like, he quotes that line from Art of War, and then Nagata's like, that's not what it means at all. It's like, oh.
Yeah, he's not, even though he sort of learns his lesson, he's still not, like, a perfect character. He's still, like, an idiot. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay to have an idiot lead.
Right.
I thought that was funny, though. I was happy that they, like, make the sort of dumb American hero. He's still dumb at the end, but he's a hero, but he's still dumb.
I wondered how he became a lieutenant. Like, he's not even in the Navy at the beginning of the movie, and then his brother's like, you're in the Navy now. And then the next scene, he's like, which is a pretty high rank. Like,
I kind of hated that. I was like, oh, brother.
Did they specify how long of a time it was between
that cut?
Yeah,
no, they did not.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you.
I mean, I kind of like that cut. I like it cuts, and then he's like, at first I was confused because he was dating Brooklyn Decker's character, and I was like, why would she date him after that last scene? And they were like, all that boring romance stuff is not important to this movie. It's like, they're dating now so that we can continue to include Brooklyn Decker in this movie because we want to include hot women.
In a weird way, it was way more about Taylor Kitsch sort of wooing Liam Neeson in the end. Like, it's like Brooklyn Decker was so easy, right? Like, he just had to, like, get tased in front of her, and she was like, okay.
All right,
let's do this. And then Liam Neeson was, like, you know, sort of, like, flirting, but not really, you know, like, looking at him with his eyes, but then, like, you're like, you don't even deserve my eyes or anything, like, you don't deserve my attention at all. And then in the end, he's still, like, kind of coy, you know, like, he's like, I don't think so, dude. And then, like,
yeah.
And then he references the chicken burrito, so it's like, oh yeah, right. It was all about this moment the whole time, you know. Like, anyway,
yeah.
Weird.
That's what the movie is about. That's actually all the rest of it is just filler. The first scene and the last scene are the actual story of the film.
Yeah. I love the way that Liam Neeson's character puts it. He says, come on, let's go to lunch so we can discuss the terms of your surrender.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like I'm letting you do something, it's you're surrendering to me.
We talked about this with Johnny Guitar about, like, how men fighting is about men and it's not about the women. Like, the women have already made their decision, so she's like, she's already ready, she's with Taylor Kitsch, and all the other stuff is just for the men, you know. You just have to convince the other men that you're deserving of the woman who's already made the choice.
I like when Taylor Kitsch is, like, fighting with himself about whether or not he's going to go up and talk to Liam Neeson. He says, this is outdated. It's stupid, right? It's something that we shouldn't have to do anymore. Like, he's commenting on the outdatedness of the tradition while he's sitting there, like, having it. And he's using it as an excuse so he doesn't have to go to talk to him, but, you know.
But that's sort of, like, what this movie always was to me. Like, it's dumb in so many ways, but it's also, like, it's never, like, offensively dumb in some way, and it's always like sort of helps you along. Like before he said that, I was like wondering, okay, is this movie seriously expecting people to still like, oh yeah, he needs her dad's approval, really needs that. He's like whatever, lieutenant of the Navy, but still needs her dad to say okay, you know. But then he like sort of makes fun of it, and it kind of realize, okay, this movie's sort of leveling with you, you know, like, hey, we know this is like weird, and we know this is dumb and stuff, and but then it just sort of because it doesn't want to be too self-aware and kind of get you out of it, it just doesn't really, you know, point out how smart it is that often, you know. Maybe like it's not that smart at all in the first place, but it doesn't really point out how aware it is of its own dumbness too often, so as to not, you know, push you out of the story. And I guess I like that because it's like, you know, okay, right, anybody can sort of make fun of themselves when they're so obviously silly, you know. So why even bother?
It takes a special type of a person to have a battleship board game scene and be really earnest about it and make it like tense and enjoyable.
Right, exactly.
Like it's easy to make fun of a battleship board game scene. Yes. It's difficult to make it an actual legitimate action scene.
Right.
One issue that I had with the battleship board game scene, though, was it seemed like.
How dare you have an issue with it, Basil? It's
too late. It seemed like they were firing the missiles too late. Like,
yeah, I always thought that too. They were turning, like, no, fire it now.
It's like turning red. That means that the ship has already landed on the buoy, which means the amount of time that the missiles take to go all the way up into the air and back down, the ship should be long gone because it's not moving like a snail.
You gotta anticipate. You gotta lead them.
But
fire the missiles at the buoy. So when it lands, the missiles will already be heading toward that buoy. That's what I was thinking. I was like, fire it early. What are you doing? Like, why are you waiting?
But it's still a cool idea. As into that, and also like the way he like moved the ship backwards real quick and forwards. You can't do that in a real battleship, but it worked a little bit.
I kept thinking about that. I was like, why don't they just like move the battleships so that the little, like, you know, potato masher things that the aliens are shooting at them don't hit them? Like, why aren't they like moving the battleships around? They were just sort of sitting there shooting, and they were just like letting the aliens blow the hell out of them. I did think those little phalanx things were really cool, though. It was just like, this is like a little chain gun that would auto track the targets like that. I thought they did a good job of like presenting the sort of technology of all the Navy in this movie. Like they were like, all right, we're going to have a scene where we show this sort of technology that the Navy uses in this one. And then at the end, they're like, oh man, this old battleship is all analog and we don't have any of our like cool tricks. We're just going to have to, you know, it's just gonna be have to be like good old fashioned elbow grease and
right. Yeah, well, Peter Berg has said that he thought
old people. Wait, what? Go ahead.
Peter Berg has said that he did this movie because his dad took him to Navy museums and stuff, so he was like a big fan of the Navy. And he was really like into that whole idea of making a movie with ships and stuff like that. And he wanted to like, and those were actual veterans on that ship, apparently, like actual World War II veterans.
Yeah.
I think I could tell.
So,
I mean, they didn't seem like
So I don't know, like
they're definitely kind of awkward. Usually,
usually that sort of stuff kind of like pisses me off when it's like, look at how awesome, you know, the Army is and let's do this like all out and blah. But like it was so hard to resist just like the weird sort of thing at the end when they were like when you got Rihanna sort of excitedly partaking in this, yeah, I'm on a battleship, yeah, like, old guy, show me how to do this, you know? It's kind of, it was sort of really irresistibly cool, and I really got into it. Like, that sequence sort of got me really back into the whole movie. in terms of like whether this is just like a huge yeah. joke or it's like sort of kind of endearing in a way, you know.
Yeah,
in general, the action-y stuff worked for me. Like, I think Peter Berg has a good sense of tension mm-hmm. and release.
Yeah,
I really liked that ending scene, and then the like. I would say definitely the most satisfying part of the movie is when they try and shoot the little wheels of destruction at the battleship at the end, and they've destroyed the little barrier around, you know, the island, and the wheels of destruction are about to hit the ship, and then you see just like missiles from the planes come out of nowhere and just blow yeah. the things up. I was like, finally,
yeah.
these little bastards right. killed those stupid ass things. It's like, I think they did a good job of making those things like incredibly annoying throughout mm-hmm. the movie. You're just like, ugh, this fucking thing that's just going the whole time. Yeah. It's like, finally, blew that piece of shit up. But that was incredibly, incredibly satisfying when that happened at the end of the movie. And I was like, good job. I really felt excited when those things got blown up.
So, I also really liked when his brother showed up as like a memory or a ghost or something when they were like taking all the pictures, because like I like that they didn't make a big deal out of it. Like, you didn't even know what was going on for a second. He's just like in the picture and he's like, "Straighten up, soldier," or something like that, and then like that's it. And then he's yeah. gone. It was nice. It was like, I don't know, usually Hollywood movies like have like a giant lead into a moment like that, and then there's like this huge dramatic music swell, and then he like salutes his ghost brother or whatever, and then he like fades into the distance. But it was just kind of like, you know, this guy died, you know, we want to recognize that like he didn't die in service of the story, that like he's still there with his brother, and like, you know, I felt like the movie got little things like that right, even if overall it was, you know, basically a dumb yeah. action movie.
Yeah. Although he totally did die in service of the story, because like he had to die for the brother to like straight.
Yeah, but it wasn't just in service of the story.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's the like by bringing him back, it wasn't like he didn't have, you know.
Right. His own yeah, yeah. Sure. Stuff sure. going on. Totally. Yeah.
It was like they were paying homage mm-hmm. to the fact that he died, so his brother could
right.
learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I at first did not recognize. I think it's that's Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.
I think it's his name.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah. oh, he's the guy that plays Eric on True Blood. Like, I was like, oh, that's him. I didn't recognize him because he's not. He's speaking with like a really good English or like American accent. I was like, oh. Sounds good. He's doing a good job.
He was in Generation Kill too, and he even like said "Stay Frosty," which he said all the time in Generation Kill. So I thought that was either a not so sly reference to Generation Kill, or just people in the Navy also always say "Stay Frosty" all the time. Doesn't matter.
That might be a.
I don't know.
That might be a military thing.
Yeah, it's probably just a military thing, yeah, right? But yeah.
Because
I don't want to get a frosty now.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say I remember them. Don't they say that in like Aliens?
Yeah. I always wondered saying, whether that came first or whether like military guys saw that movie and they're like, it's a cool thing to say.
That would be great. I hope that happens a lot. Actually, I hope that like military people take over like cool lines out of Hollywood movies and like incorporate them into military talk. That would be really cool.
For like 5 years after The Matrix, everyone was just saying, dodge yeah. this. To like every shot of gun, like, dodge this. Dodge this.
Yeah, but like, yeah. But like as a part of official military protocol, like you had to say it, you know? Like, you don't have a choice. You just have to.
Well, now guys, like, This feels like a little insensitive. I mean,
weapons are hot.
Aware, but we're
ready
doing.
To go. Weapons are hot. Ready to go. Dodge this.
Dodge this.
From now on, every time you get a confirmed kill as a sniper, you're supposed to say that shit, Cray.
Right, yeah, why not include hip hop videos into the mix too, you know? Just put that in there as well.
So what did you guys that seems like a good transition. What did you guys think of Rihanna's acting debut?
I thought she was I felt like toward the beginning there was like a kind of awkward scene with her where I was like, oh, she's not an actress. But then as the movie progressed, I was just like, I don't know if they just did a good job of like skirting around the fact that she's not like an actress, or just like, I don't know if she just got better or what, but it seemed by the end of the movie, it was just like she wasn't like in any way in like a roadblock to what was happening. It was just like, okay, she seems capable enough, and it never like bothered me at all.
I thought she was really excited to be there, and to me, that's enough. It just seemed like in every scene, she was like, like a dog that you had just let outside. She was like, "What's next? What's going on? What's this?"
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Is that she doesn't ever really have like a? There wasn't ever like a love story with her or anything. Like it seemed like usually when you have a character like that, there's always some other character that there's sort of a love story with. It seems like. In movies like these, there will be a female character, and she's either, you know, Vasquez and she gets killed, or she has a love story with somebody so that she can survive. But with her, it was just like, oh, she's there.
She did remind me of Vasquez a lot, just because, like, she's a ethnically ambiguous woman with a love for guns, you know, like... you know, that was basically what Vasquez did in Aliens. And she did it here too. And apparently, the one thing Rihanna said about the movie was like she really loved handling those guns. Like she was really into it. And so I guess they just realized, hey, Rihanna likes guns. Let's make her have some, you know. And it just went with that.
Because I was gonna say partially maybe to what you were saying, Patrick, why it became more bearable is that I think one thing that really bothered me in the beginning of the movie is that the editing was really weird. Like, there's, like, kind of a sloppiness to it where, like, I remember a couple scenes that, like, cuts to Rihanna and that dude from Friday Night Lights / Breaking Bad. I can never remember the actor's name. Like, and there was no kind of setup for, like, they're even participating in the scene. Like it's, like, a scene with Taylor Kitsch and his brother, and then all of a sudden it just, like, cuts to them, and she's, like, making some snarky remark or something, and I was like, are they even in the same room? Like, where are they? Like, there's no, like, shot that has all of them in it, so, like, it's just, like, all of a sudden these two people are here, and... Yeah. I couldn't figure out what they were doing or how they were related to anyone else.
Yeah, I didn't know who they were at first. I was like, well, who are these characters? Like, it's just like, I know that that's Rihanna. I don't know who her character is, though.
That's who they are.
She's not been introduced.
Haven't you ever watched a movie before? If this were a Disney movie, they'd be, you know, bugs or animals, or, you know, living snowmen.
Actually, I looked up what because I was interested in whether or not there were more movies based on board games, and so I looked it up and I found like a whole bunch of projects in the mix Clue's in the mix, right? Like somebody's trying to direct the new version of Clue, I think also. But what I got really excited about sort of is Michael Bay is thinking about doing about a movie about a Ouija board. Which is kind of an awesome idea. And the one thing it said that he said about the movie is like, I promise it won't be like Jumanji. So, okay. There's that. Ridley.
What's wrong with Jumanji?
I don't know. Exactly.
I don't have a problem with Jumanji.
Screw you, Michael Bay, hating on Jumanji. But Ridley's.
When are they making the Sorry movie? That's what I want to see.
That's also a good one.
Just people knocking people over. Sorry.
Hungry hippos.
And Ridley Scott is supposed to do Monopoly. Like, I don't know. I have no idea how the hell that would work. But apparently...
There was several years ago.
It's going to be a social commentary on the
1%. Yeah, there was a like fake trailer for the Monopoly movie several years ago. I thought it was really funny. It had like Uncle Moneybags like shooting machine guns at people. It's great.
Yeah, the Hasbro guy actually said like, "Don't worry, the Monopoly movie is not going to be like Wall Street at all." So, okay. What is it going to be about then?
Again,
really?
I'm confused.
It's just about people buying real estate, you know, and selling it to others. I don't know, whatever.
Can it be like Wolf of Wall Street? At least just everybody's on drugs all the time, and
right,
just incredibly big assholes.
Was the guy with no legs actually a person with no legs? Did they CGI?
It seemed like he wasn't a professional actor. Some of those scenes between him and Brooklyn Decker that played the love interest? What's her name?
It was Brooklyn Decker. I don't remember the character's name.
In some of the scenes, like it seemed like he was. I don't know. It felt a little awkward. It seemed like he was trying to act really well, which is always like when you feel like somebody is trying to act really well, it's always kind of a bad sign because you're like, oh, they don't know really what they're doing. But I thought he did a good enough job by the end, or at least the movie did a good enough job of staying away from having him do any heavy lifting. No pun intended.
It took forever for the movie to justify that they were still in the movie. the plot for that thing takes so long to like start meaning something. I was like, they're just up in the woods for a really long time.
You could
time
have cut and... that entire part of the movie out and it would have been fine.
Yeah. Honestly,
like everything having to do with her, everything having to do with the nerdy satellite guy. Everything having to do, and did you guys like it? How apparently, like all of the satellites were like rigged with explosives.
Because
it was like the missile hit the island, and then there was like you know that little explosion trail, like you know,
a
like
chain reaction
Bond or something, like leading up to the satellites.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a power surge that just like blew the shit out of the satellites. It's normally a power surge to like short out something, but this isn't short out. It's just like
the government's like, we're gonna have to rebuild all those satellites now. You literally could have just turned the power off. You literally could have just flipped a switch, but instead you just blew the shit out of the satellite.
Oh man. No, I was actually talking with somebody about like what before I watched the movie. I was like, what other board games are there out there that people could make into movies? Like, could you make? I don't guess you could make a Life movie, or
every movie is Life the board game.
Stratego, the movie.
I think Bergman's Scenes from a Marriage was based on Life, the board game.
Yeah, probably. Through a glass, probably. The
chess.
Board game.
Like Chess would be good. I would totally get behind Chess, the movie. It would be cool.
Oh, no.
Just giant things moving around at high speed. That'd be pretty cool.
I was gonna say I watched a movie last night called Computer Chess that was really good. I really enjoyed that movie, and it was about people trying to program computers to play chess against each other, and then it consequently trying to program a computer to play chess against a human, and I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, I heard that movie's good. Sadly,
I like searching for Bobby Fischer.
There have been a lot of good chess movies, haven't there?
Yeah, Searching for Bobby Fischer, right? Like, that's the one chess movie that I ever watched, I think, to be honest.
Yeah.
I like Fresh. Fresh is pretty
good. Oh, right.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
The Seventh Seal is a chess movie. So that one is actually a chess board game. Yeah.
They're explaining chess in The Wire, and everyone loves that scene where they explain chess in The Wire. The importance of board games to cinema.
I remember when I watched that scene in The Wire, my dad immediately like sort of fell in love with that show, because I was watching it with my dad too, by the way. Weird. Anyway, he really like, oh yeah, I'm totally going to be into this show because they like chess, so it can't be bad, right? Nobody who likes chess can be bad. So that worked out.
Except for the actual Bobby Fischer's kind of
a huge anti-Semitic asshole. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes.
The kid that it's that the movie is based on, Josh Waitz's kid. I never met him, but his sister actually went to my school, and so like a lot of my friends met him, and they said that he's exactly what you would expect someone to like who became extremely famous at like 8 years old to act like. Like, he's a complete prima donna, and like he's not very good at interacting with people socially.
Right, yeah.
He seems so sweet in that movie, though.
Yeah, I don't know if that's him playing himself. Probably not, yeah. Like, he was not, like, that was, he wrote the book, right? He wrote the book.
Yeah, the dad.
Right? Yeah.
The dad wrote the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Joe Mantegna's real-life counterpart. Yeah. Another funny thing about that movie is that they are not white. the family is white in that movie. I don't know exactly what they are, but you can actually see the person who I know, Katya. She's his first opponent in the last series of chess games. She plays his opponent. Mm-hmm. And you can see that they're not white.
Yeah.
They were recast as white and searching for Bobby Fischer.
Whoa.
So Hollywood.
Yeah.
Just like Ben Affleck casting himself as a person of Latin origin in Argo.
Oh, I had no idea. That's
yeah, the real FBI agent or whatever CIA that he's based on is definitely like, his last name is like Vargas or something like that, and he's definitely of Latin descent.
He probably just thought after dating Jennifer Lopez he could swing it. Probably like he, right. I know about this now. I know about it. Like, I have some experience with Latin people.
It's an extension of the "I have a black friend" corollary.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, not only am I not racist, but I can just become them.
Yes, I have absorbed their essence into myself. Damn, that's getting weird. Yeah, okay.
Which, to bring it back to Battleship, they had a diverse cast, including...
They
even addressed ableist concerns. They had.
They really did. Yeah, that's kind of amazing. This was the
least ableist movie I've seen.
Yeah, because they also make the stupid guy the main guy in charge, right? So that's kind of cool too.
And I did like the scene where he like defers and he's like, "You're a way better captain than me. You should be picking the ship."
I was like, yeah. That's really good.
That was cool. That was definitely cool.
Sort of the opposite of the Star Trek, where the really stupid captain refuses not to be the captain.
I didn't understand why they ran up the destroyer except to, like, show the weird Titanic part when it's sinking. I was like, why are you running up it? That makes it harder to survive when you have to jump.
Well, honestly, I think that that's what you're supposed to do when a ship is going down like that, because it'll suck you under if you just jump into the water while it's still going down. Yeah, if it's still going down like that, I think it has like a suction around it that'll suck you under if you just like go into the water.
Maybe because the insides still have air in it, the water is being pulled downwards, like into the ship.
But then aren't you just supposed to stay on top of it so that you can just?
I think so.
Away?
I think the jumping.
Like if you
thing,
jump off, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the jumping thing was just there for dramatic effect. But I think that's what you're supposed to do is stay on the back. But I think that the ship was going.
Plus, I think they were running away from the two yo-yo thingies that you know that kept destroying everything.
The yo-yos of destruction.
And so they were right behind them, and they were just like, "Okay, yeah, we got it. Like, we can't go down because that's where they are. So let's just keep climbing."
Yeah.
You know? And then once they were up there, just like, "Okay, let's jump now because this doesn't look good either."
Basil seems somewhat skeptical about it.
Here, it's an explanation.
Only because everyone else survived without doing that.
It's true. I just don't,
Right.
I have no actual answer for you. I don't know this for sure. I'm speculating. I'm speculating on a hypothesis.
That's fair.
Right after that moment was a moment that kind of bothered me, which is when they're back on the island and they're like looking at the explosion and Brooke O'Decker's like, was that the John Paul Jones? Like, as if they would know what ship it was for some reason. Yeah. And then the guy's like, wait, there are lifeboats coming off of it. And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's like, no, well, he'd probably still be dead.
Hope is all you need, Ruben.
Yeah. Yeah. And hope is a beautiful thing. And then Morgan Freeman appears out of nowhere, puts his hand on his shoulder, and no good thing ever dies.
I like how they just sort of, like the nerdy guys, like they kind of hand wave away the death of the, because one of them dies, right? Like, they sort of...
Yeah, more than one. He's like, they killed my interns.
Yeah, they killed my grad students. I was like, these guys are just dead, I guess. Yeah. They're not going to show it. Show it them being dead.
Yeah. Also, that made me really confused because, like, why did they kill them? Like, since generally the aliens weren't bothering to kill regular humans because it wasn't worth it. Like,
yeah. That didn't make much
sense.
They
seemed especially helpless on the scale of human helplessness. Like.
Yeah, I think that character also only survived just so he could, like, you know, explain, oh, this is how long we have till the aliens can contact their home planet or whatever. That guy definitely...
Another thing is, like, when the aliens at the home planet, like, don't hear from them, are they just going to be like, oh... Well,
guess
what are you going to do?
Guess they didn't make it.
I mean, that's how the American military responds to, like, no signal from an operation. They're like, well, just abandon that idea forever.
We're not even going to send a drone in or anything like that.
NASA's just like, well, lost the space shuttle. Guess that's how that goes.
Well, billions of dollars down the tube. Let's have to start again.
So basically, eventually in this movie, that the aliens come back and they destroy all of Earth. We're right. Given temporary respite due to the efforts of Taylor Kitsch and Rihanna.
That's like the post-credits scene that none of us bothered to watch for.
No, I watched it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's really stupid.
Oh, there was a post-credits
like,
scene?
In Scotland or something, and like some kids find like a piece of alien spaceship, and then
oh, really?
their dad like opens it with the like welding torch, and then an alien hand pops out. And that's it.
I guess since this movie made like no money at all, so we won't be getting that sequel.
Yeah.
But
I think it didn't. I think it wasn't quite that terrible at the box. I think it didn't flop that terribly. I think it did still made like 200 million or something. But that was just like that was its budget too, so they just didn't really make that much money out of it. But they at least didn't lose that much either, I think. Or am I completely wrong? Because I think I read that the box office wasn't that terrible even.
I don't know. Somebody look it up on Box Office Mojo. Moho.
We're all doing the same thing. I'll stop.
I'm not going to do it. If I type on my computer, you'll hear it in the recording.
Yeah, apparently, thanks to the rest of the world, this movie did okay. But the domestic box office was $65 million compared to a $209 million budget. But then it made like $237 foreign box office, so it made like $303.
They probably appreciated how not racist it was, right. American action movie.
There you go.
Being used to Transformers and Transformers 2, they're probably like, this is amazing.
I don't feel nearly as insulted as I usually do.
This is so metropolitan.
I can imagine this movie being a hit in Japan because, like, basically, Japan kind of rules in this movie. Like
like Americans are shown to be
exactly.
Idiots.
And Nagata is just kind of awesome.
Idiots, the Japanese.
Like the only bad scene for him is that he sort of gets beat up by Taylor Kitsch in that bathroom, but you never really see it anyway. So you know it's all fine.
And both of them are.
I thought when they went out, like the Nagata looked really bruised, and Taylor Kitsch, I guess, didn't. But maybe they just forgot that he was supposed to look bruised and just put a lot of makeup on him and like just like. Just put him there.
Yeah, he doesn't have those bruises when he shows up later.
Yeah, no, not really. Not really. But I don't think Nagata does either. Plus, they got pretty cool uniforms. I thought that like the Japanese uniforms were really one way cooler than the Navy uniforms. So, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah,
they won the soccer game. Yeah. Which is really important, which is probably more important than the other things.
Yeah. They won the soccer game. Peter Berg does love sports, doesn't he? Like, he'll put sports any goddamn way in a movie. Like, he doesn't care. He's like, no, they're playing soccer. Like, they're fucking getting together to play soccer. And the kids are playing baseball just in the middle of the movie. He kept cutting back to people playing sports, and I was like, why are they playing sports in the middle of the movie? And I was like, all right.
Yeah, and I guess
that's what people
do. I think
he
also used the whole
because sports are a metaphor.
He used the same thing as he did in Friday Night Lights with the announcer constantly talking. Right? I think like throughout the whole soccer game there was this announcer talking without stopping, and I think he did it in Friday Night Lights too, where he also sort of like there it was like a thing to make sure this is a big event for this city, right? Like everybody's paying attention to this game. This is really important. And in Battleship, it was just there to, I guess, fill the audio so you wouldn't be bored while watching people play soccer. I don't know.
Make sure everybody knew exactly what was going on. I did
a good job with that bicycle kick.
They did.
I made an actual, like, sound. Because it looked like it really hurt.
I did like that it was like a co-ed team, though. Like, Rihanna was on their soccer team with them. And I was like, all right, that's cool. They let the girls and the guys play together.
Yeah, that's like Starship Troopers, almost.
Yeah.
The greatest war movie of all time.
just no shower scenes this time.
The one where the human race becomes the Nazis.
Was it you that told... Ilya, was it you that
human race was the Nazis before. In real life, the human race was the Nazis. It wasn't animals.
It's true.
It wasn't like bear Nazis. Yeah,
I was saying like the entire human race.
What do you say,
Basil?
The
entire human military.
Oh, I totally got lost in whatever Patrick and Ruben were talking about.
We were talking about Starship Troopers now.
We're talking about bear Nazis.
Yeah, that's all I heard. I was like, wait, what? Bear Nazis? Are we talking about the same thing still?
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of, I guess I still had my hopes up when I started watching this movie that I, maybe because I saw an interview where Peter Berg described this as his $200 million art house movie, and I don't think he was really serious, sadly. Because I sort of miss...
Or he doesn't exactly know what art house
is. Also, maybe. I don't know. But I remember, like Starship Troopers being described as, like, the last big box office art house movie. Like, I mean, not box office, but just, like, expensive art house movie. And I guess it's true. I don't know. Like, I don't remember seeing, like, an action movie coming out and then coming back and think, oh, my God, that was, like... hella subversive and amazing and whatever. So I guess there's...
What about Christopher Nolan's Batman movies?
Yes.
The dark.
Yes.
Gritty.
I saw a lot of those instead, and that was not nearly as awesome, sadly. Sadly. But I still had to, like, obviously still had to endure a lot of people presenting like they were, like, this thing. But obviously they weren't. So, yeah. So I was hoping for Battleship.
What if we said things were dark, but then everything turned out okay for everybody?
Yeah, right. I don't know. I guess Batman gave us like the Pete Holmes college humor thing about Batman, which I kind of enjoy. So I guess that was good that came out of it.
What was the? I haven't seen this. You should put it up on YouTube later.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
I know. I really enjoyed those. So I enjoyed those way more than the movies themselves. So anyway,
makes sense,
right? But I was kind of like, again, I was. I guess I still always have like sort of like the hope when I'm watching like a big ass action movie that every critic hated. That like, oh, maybe this all went over their heads. You know, again, like it happened with Starship Troopers. And maybe this time, you know, I will be the first to realize that I'm seeing a really, really great piece of art right here. But I guess it didn't.
I mean, I felt that way about Speed Racer when I saw it. Wow. I was like, this movie is awesome, and I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks.
Right.
That's a good call, actually. That movie is.
Yeah, Speed Racer was great. I agree. I guess, yeah.
I think...
Go ahead, Ruben.
Maybe Zack Snyder has the ability to do it, but hasn't so far. He's failed, mostly.
Yeah, there's
something that I like about Zack Snyder, but there's something that I strongly dislike about his movies, if that makes any sense.
As a person, he seems like he might get there.
Well, it's just like, in all of his movies, there's something like compassionate about it, which is very odd considering how blockbuster movies have been going. But then he doesn't really follow through on that compassion in any like meaningful good way. And in the case of Watchmen, he's exactly the worst person to hire to helm the film because it's the least compassionate source material like the whole time.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't think of compassion when I think of Alan Moore.
No.
Sometimes someone being, you know, not compassionate can be very interesting, but usually in the case of like big budget movies, it's not interesting because they're so toothless most of the time. Because they have to be PG-13 so that they can appeal to a wide audience. And then you watch this movie and you're like, this should be a lot, you know, darker than it is. But it's, you know, they're not trying to be too dark because they still want to make money.
Yeah, but I guess darkness in of itself is kind of like, sort of like a very kind of sort of cheap, cheap sort of, how do you say, God, now my English skills are forsaking me.
I was gonna say it's a cheap way to add gravity to what your story is.
Yeah, and it's also and portraying. It's a cheap way to create those expectations also, like, oh, look at how dark this is getting, and these characters are acting really evil or whatever, and so this is going to be like something special in some way, where I don't know, I feel like that's exactly what Nolan kind of traffics in, right? And you know, like, that's his kind of,
well, you have to have consequences to have something be actually dark. So like at the end of Dark Knight, for instance, you know, he uses that software, you know, that spies on like literally everybody in the world in order to catch the Joker. And like, if there was some sort of consequences for him crossing that line, you know, then the movie could actually be dark. But instead, it's like, it's okay. He only used it once, and it was for a totally good reason. And I'm like, that's not dark. That's literally the bullshit that our government force feeds us to tell us it's okay to do these horrible things to its citizens.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, consequence is definitely sort of like a prerequisite for darkness even having any sort of sense in the first place. You know, like,
Batman is basically a government bureaucrat, is what I'm saying.
And Christopher Nolan loves Glenn Beck, as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
Well, he's making a movie about...
I like Peter Berg more than Christopher Nolan.
Nolan is making a movie about the NASA, by the way, I think, right? Isn't he making a movie about NASA?
About NASA?
I think so.
He's making a sci-fi movie called Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway.
It's going to be a dark, gritty space movie.
The trailer doesn't really make it clear.
No, really. It really doesn't. Except it's, you know, it's going to be about, like, space travel, I guess, in the most...
Interstellar.
Yeah. I hear that, and I think Interstellar... Interstellar 9999? I think the Daft Punk movie that was set to the Discovery album.
I don't think Christopher Nolan is the right dude to do that movie.
I think there was some like low budget, like semi horror comedy film that was made in Alabama. I don't think it was called... It may have been called Interstellar. It may have been called Intergalactic, if you remember. I think it was called Interstellar.
Okay, so does anyone have anything else to say about Peter Berg or Battleship? We can wrap this up. If not...
We've
been going for an hour.
Yeah.
Look at us. We're cool.
Well done.
Okay. So... That's it on Battleship, and I guess we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.